1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We still have to come this evening. Students from Canyon High School on their parents buying them cars. There's certain cars they do not want to drive, and they had a meeting, a student assembly. According to the student council, even the poor kids agree there are certain cars that they don't want to, you know, even if they were given a car to drive, they wouldn't drive it. We'll find out what that's about coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. After our broadcast this evening, I've never done an online chat. I'm not even clear as to what that is, and I realize that makes me sound dumb, but I'm not one to do chat rooms. I used to do the message boards a lot. Just to make people mad. You know, I would just go in as Bob and act stupid, you know, and then that got boring. But actually, tonight will just be a chat with listeners of the radio show, and it'll be our first, and it'll be at a website called sweetfeatheryjesus.com, a fan site. You need to have an ID, right, Michelle? I think you have to have an ID, and you got to log in. What are you laughing at, bud?
Yeah, log. Yeah, log on it.
Yeah, log.
What?
Nothing. So anyway, yeah, log on or whatever you do, and then we'll do our chat. We want to tell you that on March the 31st, our next webcast of the Phil Hendry Show. We do them very few and far between are our webcasts because we feel they're kind of special. You have to be a Backstage Pass member. You can go to our website to find out more about that. And don't forget our television show starring Justin Bartha, Sarah Alexander, myself, Cully Roca, Dion Richmond, Matt Winston, and Sarah Shahi, called Teachers, debuts on NBC March 28th at 9:30, and we're hoping to have the cast of Teachers in here on the 27th, perhaps. Just to kind of wrap, 1-800-449-8686. I've got a dedication, actually a flashback request coming up in just a few minutes for you. You know who you are, Raquel. But first, we'll take a phone call here. Is this Jeff? Go ahead, Jeff.
Wanted, first of all, to say I'm really enjoying your program, and I just didn't know if you'd heard about a very interesting article that was in a magazine called Mental Floss that a friend of mine, Toby Bowe, had been reading about and also told me about it.
I don't know what one you're referring to.
Well, it's a really interesting article about the penguins that live on the Falklands Islands. If you're familiar about it, the Falklands Islands were the site of a conflict between Great Britain and Afghanistan. It's not Afghanistan, man. It's
Argentina?
Argentina in 1982. Now, this was a...
Can I ask you where you are right now? Because I'm hearing running water.
We're up at Castaic Creek right now. We're doing some brown trout fishing. It's a little chilly out here, but we like to come up here and do some brown trout fishing this time of the season.
And you're up there with a friend right now, I take it?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, but are you listening to the show?
Yeah, we are. I forget what station, what's it coming in on? We're coming on a Monterey, California station, I think. If you saw the article, it goes on to say that the penguins who live at the Falklands Islands, there was 10 million of them 300 years ago, then it dwindled down and dwindled down and dwindled down, and it dwindled down to 1 million. And the reason for that is varied, but most of it had to do with the people would roast them or, you know, cook them for their fat and everything. Then the Falkland Island War come, and the Falklands people, or I mean the Argentina people, put landmines down. Okay, and here's the thing that's sort of a trip that Toby was telling me about, because he made a very good point, okay? Those of us who was against the Iraq war, because of it, you got to say war is not all bad, because war helped the penguin, and it does create a dilemma. And so we're going to be addressing this next week in Santa Monica at Fremont Bookstore, and it'll be a roundtable discussion. And
well, wait a minute, man. What do you mean war helps penguins? What does that mean?
Wants to know why. Because of the fact that when they put the mines down during the Falklands War, you can't go out and walk out there because it'll blow you up, and also sheep. But penguins aren't heavy enough to set the mines off. So the Falkland Islander people, excuse me, God, man, story. The Falkland Islander...
What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. The Falkland Islander people put up fences that said, minefield, don't go there, don't go there. Okay? Well, guess what? The penguins can go there, and they don't die. As a result, the penguins have an area that they're protected in, and the humans can't get to them.
So the Falkland Islands war, the Argentinians laid down landmines.
That's correct, on the beach areas to slow the advance of the British troops, right.
And those landmines have not been dug up, and as a result, the penguins have a place to go where they're safe.
That's correct, yes.
Wow, that's kind of a trip. So you're saying that the penguins don't set off the mines?
No, the penguins are not heavy enough to set off the landmines. As a result, the penguin population at the Falkland Island area has grown back to around 2 to 1 million.
And what do you mean 2 to 1 million? You just told me there was a million of them.
Yeah, but there's more now. There's 2 to 1 million.
Well, then say 1 to 2 million.
Okay, 1 to 2 million. God.
All right, now let me ask you something. How is this a dilemma for you and people that are against the war? What, since a war saved the penguins, now you think war's cool?
Well, I don't know that it's cool or not, but it also throws in a kind of a monkey wrench to the whole dilemma. Because the war taught us how to save a penguin. What other things could war teach us to save, you know? And Toby was talking about that. We'll be having a roundtable discussion at Foreman's Bookstore in Santa Monica.
What would we mean a roundtable discussion?
We're inviting people from KPFK Radio and a lot of the people that live in the neighborhood to come over and discuss, is there, you know, what animals has war saved and how can we continue it?
Well, I guess you'd have to have a few more wars, man. I tell you what, after the... Excuse me.
You smoking some of this?
I'm not smoking anything. After the Iraq war, find out what animals are in abundance over in Iraq.
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, you could check to see if any life, you know, things went up or I don't know. It's pretty heavy, though, don't you think?
Well, I think it's one of those anomalies. I think it's just one of those side effects that, you know, one of those things that happens in life. What is it? Every cloud has a silver lining?
What?
Every cloud has a silver lining?
I'm sorry?
Every cloud has a silver lining.
Every cloud has a silver... What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? What I mean is, out of some bad things, something good happens.
Well, okay, but what are you referring to?
The penguins, man! The penguins are alive! There's more penguins now because of the Falklands War.
I know that, but what does that mean when you say a cloud?
Every cloud is a silver lining.
Well, what's up with you, man?
What's up with every cloud is a silver lining is a figure of speech meaning good stuff can come from bad stuff. The good stuff that came from the Falklands War is the landmines that they laid to kill British troops. Actually, didn't kill British troops. It was a place for penguins to go to be safe because no humans will go out there.
Did you read the same article? Because I was just reading that.
You just came on and told me about it, you idiot. Wait a minute. Is he in a crowd now?
I think it's pretty cold for you to hang up like that, Mr. Henry.
Shut up. All right, coming up, we're going to have a... What?
I guess it's still here.
Yeah, still at the creek. Coming up, we're going to have a...
Makes you want to go to the bathroom, doesn't it?
Get out of here. Coming up, we got a flashback on a Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got a very special flashback request tonight. It's from our buddy Raquel of Toronto. And Raquel, go online and check out Raquel of Toronto if you want to know who she is. If you want to take a much, much closer look at who and what she is. And believe you me when I tell you, she'll give you a little bit of a peek. Just a little peekaboo, as Jay Santos used to say. All right, now, Raquel would like to hear any bit featuring Herb Sewell. The more of Herb's disturbing laugh, the better, she says. This is actually a bit as whack as Herb is and was. He was married at one time. Not only did he do the things that he says he's done, you know, pretty despicable things. He also killed his wife. Here it is, Herb Sewell.
I cannot believe that this man is out of prison, number one. What is wrong with our penal system that a man can murder?
I did every day of the time that was assigned to me by the court.
Excuse me, sir. Something is wrong with our courts. Excuse me for using sir so loosely. What is wrong with our courts that they would only give you 6 years for murdering
I didn't murder
this
her.
Woman
it was an
in front of their children? Out-of-body, my experience, my ass.
No, you've
excuse
heard
me, sir, but something is also wrong with the psychologist and with the parole board at Avenal State Prison, and they will get a letter from me that
I'd
they
like
have allowed
you
to be on the street.
What is your qualification to
my qualification is that I am a mother who has a husband and three sons that are loving fathers.
Trust me,
they wouldn't murder their children's mothers.
Well, if they blathered on, they must be very lucky.
Me, you know what? I blather on like the best of them, thank God. Because it's men like you that need to be put in their place.
Well, wait a minute. What's your deal? First of all, I did the time. I paid for the crime by doing that. Number two.
You know what? You did not
saw
pay
myself.
The time.
I was
traumatized. Because it's a life for a life. Read the freaking Bible. You preach
about being a
Christian.
Everybody's quoted the Bible. Well, people
what happened to an eye for an eye?
That's not Christian. That's the new. That's the Old Testament.
You know
that's
what?
Not the New Testament.
You know what?
Now, the
sir,
lady that called from
your
Atlanta.
Children,
called
your children should never speak to you again. And how you can do a film documentary on being a father? This is the biggest joke I've ever heard.
Like
why would anybody pay money to allow you to do a film documentary? I'm sure it had to be self-financed because nobody would be in with you on this.
I want to ask
you
a question here. Herb, I want to ask you a question. How has your daughter responded to the court, you wanting to compel the court to have you walk her down the aisle?
We're expecting a response from her attorney, but I certainly have the right to walk my daughter down the aisle when she's marrying a prominent member of the film industry. Now, this is, happens to be what I do for a living. are you telling me?
Well, how self-serving can you be to want to walk your daughter down the aisle, a daughter that you traumatized by pushing her mother out of the car, and then...
Let me ask Stephanie. Stephanie, being a mother, don't you think that I have the right to make a speech at my daughter's wedding?
No, I do not. And if that daughter doesn't have a restraining order to keep you 500 miles from her wedding, something's wrong with her.
Well, ma'am, let me just say,
you are a dangerous man, sir. You are still a dangerous man because you have not owned this at all.
I'm not dangerous.
You
I saw myself doing
man.
It.
You are a sick, dangerous man.
Well, I wouldn't drive on the grapevine with your husband and family if I were you.
I'll tell you what. I don't want to drive on any freeway near you because you are a very dangerous man, and the parole board at Avenal State Prison will hear from me.
Well, you can rest assured that 3 years in isolation, I will never push
a
woman out of a car.
You still ought to be in isolation because you're a kook.
You know, Stephanie, let me just say it's a good thing I didn't marry you.
I don't even believe this radio station, nor I am giving you time, but I have never been so angry in my life.
Mr. Sewell, what you're not getting is that it doesn't matter if you apologize to your children. It doesn't matter if it was an out-of-body experience. They witnessed their mother getting pushed from a car.
And you know, when she was getting shoved from that car, she was still talking. I can still see her falling backwards onto the freeway and her mouth still moving on about some house she saw in La Cañada. Can you imagine that?
Wait a second. Are you listening to what we're saying, though, sir?
I understand what you're saying. I told you that I am trying to make amends. Kimberly won't let me make a speech at her wedding, and I do want to show a copy of my film to her new husband. Why can't I do this? I don't understand. Stephanie, I was nude in isolation. Nude.
You know what?
I had
sir,
no clothes
and you
on.
You should still be stripped nude and still be in isolation. And thank God for the grandmother of your children that have raised them to understand
Amen.
That you are a sick man.
Amen.
Oh,
thank
the creature.
Thank God to the grandmother of your children.
I praise that woman
for helping them to see the truth about their father.
Ah, now you're speaking of the creature. So you've never met the creature.
You are a creature, sir. You are a creature.
This is a woman that's raising your children.
Raising my children to hate their father, who in a moment's weakness kicked their mother out of a car.
At 90 miles an hour on the grapevine.
Whatever.
That's solid. Is that from a best of? That is Herb Sewell from our best of. 2004 best of. What's the name of that one that's best of there? Oh, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. Oh, yeah. It's the one with Michael Moore on the cover. And he's all fat and, you know, just crap dripping out of his face. Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, check it out. It's our best of CD, and that was a request for Raquel of Toronto. In fact, we couldn't resist Ron Raquel's site right now. Oh, God, are you a beautiful woman, baby? 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up this evening, we'll have Justin McElroy and students of Canyon High School on that whole trip with the cars. Apparently, his father bought him a Mitsubishi Lancer, and that's just not going to get it done. So he'll be talking about that and what the students are going to, you know, do about that. Also, we're going to have a online chat following the show at sweetfeatheryjesus.com, a live chat. And I would like to remind you as well, we are debuting a TV show March 28th, Teachers, at 9:30 on NBC. There, I'm getting all the plug-a-rooskies out of the way. I think Raj Fanin is going to be checking in tonight to, he thinks he's got some second career. He wrote this song that's the dumbest, stupidest, lamest song, and he thinks it's rock and roll, and it's called Saw an American, and the lyrics change all the time. But apparently it has to do with Americans' addiction to fast food. So we'll also hear from Raj. I think we're going to have a visit from Doug Danger, too, on the possibility that George Clooney is gay. And let's see what else. Oh, Scott Stapp, formerly of Creed, is a drunk. All right. Hey, what is it with that guy? I thought he embraced Jesus. That cat, these guys that embrace Jesus, and then they're, like, busted for being hammered in public. Aren't you not? You're not supposed to drink if you like Jesus, right? That poor guy, Jesus. Man, I bet you Jesus would like to get nailed up there again, just so he doesn't have to hear any of this stuff anymore. And this time only, really die. Not go to heaven and do whatever. All right, yeah, last night, The Sopranos. What did you think, huh? Very interesting show. Just when I didn't think I'd hear about The Sopranos again, man, all of a sudden I had the TV on. Boom, there it is. The reason why we like that show, for those of you who don't or haven't watched it, you know, look, why don't you just let me have my Sopranos? Many people have their Sex and the City, their Deadwood, and their 6 Feet Under. I wouldn't go across the freaking street to watch any of those three. I don't care about Ian McShane and his piercing blue eyes. The big pranny. I only want to see them, those Guidos on that Sopranos show, because that's a beautiful thing. And last night's show will not disappoint. Now, it's coming on tonight, and I don't want to let anybody know what happened, but it's pretty heavy. I'm not going to say anything other than that. I will not. Don't worry. Tony gets shot. But I'm not going to say a thing, man. And for those of you who thought that Adriana's coming back, she ain't coming back, baby. I love these people saying, hey, Adriana, you know, she got shot last episode of last season. Oh, well, they'll bring her back. They can't. Well, guess what? No, they're not. No, Adriana got shot and then went to hell, otherwise known as Joey. Now, moving along. But you're glad you made that career choice. I'm kidding around. It's a fine show. I'm very sorry it's leaving the air, but that just leaves more room for our show. Yeah, right. You know, I got to tell you something. I make the comment about, somebody said to me the other day, they said, Henry, you're not going to say anything really honest about NBC anymore because you got a possibility of having a show on there. I said to them, really? Then how come it was that I was on my show last week talking about how The Office sucks? You didn't say that. I did say that. Well, what an idiot. And then I turn around. Now I'm not honest. Now I'm an idiot. Why'd you do that? Because I think it sucks. And what do you want me to say?
Well, are you crazy? Somebody's going to hear it over there. Then they're going to say your show blows. Then we'll put it on the air. Well, if they do, they do. What do you want me to do about it?
They know they're hiring. They're hiring a guy that does a talk show. I'm supposed to hold back so I get my gig, so I can grease my gig over there. I'm sure it's a nice show. It's not that bad a show. It's just, it ain't anywhere near as funny as the original. Nowhere near as funny. You can always tell when they're kind of half-assing the jokes. You know, you can always tell when they just don't want to go as far as they should. They're kind of pulling it back a little bit. The Office in Great Britain, the show that aired in England was pure genius. The one that's over here is like, whatever. You know, I'm sorry, man. I've tried to watch it. I've tried to really get into the spirit of how bloody funny it was. And you two limeys that I talked to over there at the set of the Teachers, there were two British producers that were there. And with their buck teeth, they looked at me in all earnestness and said, oh, no, we really think it's a very good show. Yeah, I see. You're a lying, stinking limey. Anyway, thanks so much for the blood pudding. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got a chiropractor in Santa Monica, man. His name's Ralph Alvey. Saved my life today because I've had ever since I was lifting concrete for a living, which was way, way back when I was like 19, and I destroyed my back. What happens, for those of you who got a back problem, you know, eventually it finds its way up your spine to your neck. And so I, problem is, this is very weird, but I've been feeling like Goldilocks for the last, I don't know, 3 weeks. Because I can't get a good night's sleep because of, I know this is about to sound like a mattress commercial, doesn't it? Hi, friends. Can you get a good night's sleep? Well, how about sleeping out of doors? Sleep out in the street. That's right. Hello, I'm Larry King for sleeping in the middle of an avenue. You know, I couldn't get a good night's sleep. Why? Because I was drinking too much of that Ginsana. That's right. So I had myself a cigarette. I laid down in the middle of the boulevard. I got run over by a Peterbilt. I feel good. So anyway, I'm trying to... I can't sleep, man. One of the problems in my house, all the beds are really feather soft. I don't know what it is. All the kids like soft beds. And what I've been doing is I've been going from, there's a lot of empty different beds, you know, because the kids are off to school. So I went down, I slept in my son's bed, two of my sons, I slept in that bed, and that ain't working. I slept in another bed, nap, that ain't working, man. The floor, my bed. Finally, I found a couch someplace. Like for 3 weeks, I'm trying to find a place where my head, because I can't sleep on my back. So a lot of the things...
Why not?
What?
Why can't sleep on your back?
I mean, it's none of your business, bud, why I can't sleep on my back. So a lot of what I've been having to do is sleeping on...
Wait, what won't you say?
It's none of your business. Shut up why I don't sleep on my back. So what I've done is I've you know, tried to find a really firm surface to sleep on, and that's really helped my neck.
And I want you to tell people why you won't sleep on your back.
Big fat mouth on you, huh?
I
don't sleep on my back because I'm too fat and I get that apnea stuff, okay?
What are you talking about? Oh, I'm laying on my back all firm. Ow!
Bug off. I don't know, man. I mean, you know, since I picked up some weight, you know, I'm like laying there at night. You know, that whole trip, it sucks, dude. You ever hear people do that? Jesus. So I sleep on my side. Now, you might ask, Phil, why don't you lose a few pounds, you fat slob, and then you can sleep on your back and your neck won't be messed up? Or do you just want to make life difficult? Anyway, Ralph Alvey out in Santa Monica, the guy's great. I'll say nothing more. Fantastic. Saved my life. You know, the first time I ever went to a chiropractor was in New Orleans, okay? You know, this whole trip with chiropractic and nutritionists and all this jazz, right? Oh, yeah, everybody goes... Well, it's 1978, and I'm working at a radio station in New Orleans called WNOE-FM. And I'm sitting there one night, and I'm doing my show, and I feel a pain go from the back of my neck through my skull into my eyeball. Would you think brain tumor? I sure did. I'm thinking, what the hell was that? I'm leaning forward on the console, and that's one of the problems with your neck and doing this gig, man. I'm leaning forward, and I feel this pain shoot into my eyeball. So... I don't know what I got. Maybe a brain tumor, but I'm sure as hell not going to do anything about it. I'm young, and I was going to go get drinks that night. But later on a Sunday morning, I'm watching a public affairs show on one of the local New Orleans TV stations, and I see this guy with I see this four eyes, basically, is what this guy was, with the Coke bottle glasses, and he's being interviewed by a lady, and he's talking about chiropractic. Now, I'd heard about it. I heard these guys were nuts. They crack your bones, right? I didn't know anything about it. But I listened to this cat. And I thought, you know what, maybe this is, I don't know why, maybe this is the answer. So I called this guy's office, and I made an appointment, and I went out way outside of town to Metairie, Louisiana, and guess where this guy's office was? It was like in a supermarket. Imagine going to a supermarket, and then you go in the back through those swinging doors, you know, where the guys go to get the corn when you want it shucked. What do you want, Mr. Henry? Can I get 6 ears shucked? Yeah, right away. And then they got to go in the back and do it. Makes you wonder what they're doing with the cobs. Just do it in front of me, man. No, I got to go in the back and do it. Why? That's just what we do. Well, I'm not so sure I like what you're going back there and doing, okay? Just chuck them right here. No, I'm going to go in the back. So you go to the swinging doors, and then you go back, and you know how, have you ever gone to the swinging doors at a supermarket? I've often gotten so angry, I've gone, hey, let's go. Come on, huh? Anybody? I want apples. And I'll go back there, and there's a guy in an apron. There's like guys in aprons with boxes of stuff. I go back to the swinging doors, and there's guys unloading apples and crap. And I go up these stairs, and I go to this office where this chiropractor is. And
ain't that where they oil the cukes?
Huh?
Isn't that where they oil up the cukes?
Oil up the cukes. Yeah, that's where they oil the cukes. What a jackball, man. Yeah, okay. That's right, bud. That's where they oil the cukes, and that's where they go with my cob.
Yeah, they go back and wedge it.
Oh, shut up, man. So I go up to this guy, and there he is in his supermarket office. But he's a really nice guy, and he's a bone-cracking chiropractor. You ever been to one of them? You haven't? Have you been to a chiropractor? Never? You been to one, Wayne? Most of the chiropractors now, they'll just, you know, they don't do any of that bone cracking. They just kind of, you know, manipulate your body. Man, there was a time, though, they would take your head and they'd rip it clean, almost rip it clean off your shoulders. All right, you're just going to feel a little rack. Twist your head around like Linda freaking Blair. Just bloop, bloop. You know, wind it up and then let go. Freaking head's like an airplane propeller. And I'm going to tell you something. The guy cured me. He cured me. Now, you know what they say. The proof's in the pudding. Ain't that the saying? In other words, you can talk about how a guy may be full of crap, or you can talk about how something isn't right or isn't real, but if it helps you, it helps you. And especially if you grab a guy's head and twist it around like it's an airplane propeller, and you go, okay, Phil, I'm going to let go now. This is going to be some kind of a ride. Okay, Doc. But I didn't have the pain anymore. I said, this is great. This is great. So I went back. I said, I got maybe 3-4 times for the, you know, follow-up adjustment. And that was the end of that, man. That was the end of that problem that I had with that particular thing. But, you know, since then, because I haven't taken the greatest care of myself. But ever since then, I've always talked about chiropractors as being really cool. And, you know, you run into medical guys, they flip out. They want to give you a shot. They want to give, you know, they give me a little B12, maybe a little morphine. That's good. But now you got chiropractors on the street corner. I mean, just any old guy can bone crack now. Any cat, you know, I'm Dr. So-and-so, man. He's got like a one room off. He's in a closet. He's got, basically, it's like a shoe shine stand. Come on over. We'll manipulate you. Have you ever seen those places? They have the chair and they'll manipulate you. And what's this Rolfing stuff anywhere? What do you mean deep tissue massage? Smile when you say that. So, dude, I feel 1,000,000% better, and ain't no more sleeping on a couch for me. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. And now I'm free. I'm free to do the things I want to do. I can be the man that I've always wanted to be. I can laugh. I can skip and jump with the children out in the fields.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-868.
By not coming out of the closet, and I think what's happened here in Hollywood that
you know for a fact he's gay.
I'm 97% sure.
All right, so what? Do you know this through people?
I've got contacts. Yeah.
All right, so George Clooney is gay, and you're feeling that he won't come out with this until what, the release of Ocean's 13?
I think so. I think that if he comes out and says that he's, you know, if he comes out and says he's a fruit before Ocean's 13 comes out, he's going to lose a lot of that young male demo that drives movies like that. And I think George is smart enough to know that that's the case. I think he's making a big mistake. I don't think it matters whether you're gay or not. I think people will go and see the movie if it's a good movie. And for the longest time, Phil, since I found out that George Clooney is gay, I have wanted him to come out of the closet. I think if you're gay and you're not out, someone ought to slap you out of the closet. And I would slap it right. I'd slap him right out of that closet if I could. But he's only fooling himself if he thinks he's got other people fooled. So that's why I'm.
Isn't this called outing somebody?
Well, I suppose it is. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have been all of my life, and I've been out since Tuesday. I'm joking, of course, Phil. I've been out for quite a while. I've been out since last summer, as you know. And I've tried to explain to people that the longer a gay person stays in the closet, the longer the rest of us suffer. And I think that when we all come out, and I don't care whether you crawl out, whether you run out, whether you come dancing out, skipping out, or whether someone has to go in there and push you out, and once you are out, slap your face for being in there, then that's got to be done. But I think that Clooney has, I think the time has come for Clooney to shut up about all this other stuff and come clean that he's a gay man. And quit, you know, trying to put it off with all this other nonsense that he's doing right now, you know, with the politics and everything like that.
You know, when you talk about George Clooney being gay, I don't know if it has the same bombshell effect or would have the bombshell effect of a Rock Hudson. You remember when that was discovered?
Well, see, that happened. Rock Hudson was discovered to be gay after he died. But, yeah, he was a traditional macho figure. I think that a lot of women liked, a lot of men identified with. And to find out that the guy was full bore, I mean, just roaring, you know, is... But I'll tell you...
What do you mean full bore?
Well, my contacts tell me that Clooney is just roaring. He's just a squirming, what we call a squirming, screaming queen. And I would say this, Phil, that Ocean's 13 will only be helped by Clooney coming out and just saying straight out, you know what, all this stuff is a smokescreen, so you won't find out that I'm gay. And I know it's lonely. I know it's lonely in the closet. But it doesn't have to be. And like I said, I'll go in there, and I'll go right into George Clooney's closet. I'll give him some company. He'll never forget. I'll kick his ass out of there so fast. But I think that's up to him.
That's it from Hollywood. Clooney's a fag. That's great, man. Doug Danger, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, time now to read some email very quickly here. Coming up next hour, by the way, we have Justin McElroy from Canyon High School on the insult delivered to him by his parents. They bought him a Mitsubishi Lancer. Dear Phil, recently I purchased a $4,000 Pioneer Elite plasma television. It really is brilliant, as it better be, at this price. However, since discovering your show finally here in Los Angeles and subscribing to your show online, I have very little time to use it. Can you imagine that? Imagine a lame ass like me buying a $4,000 Pioneer Elite plasma television, Phil, and not using it. That's how gay I've gotten over your show. Thanks so much, Eric. Jesus, dude. Pretty sad, man. Here's one from Paul Booth Johnson. Hey, Phil, I'm so addicted to your show. I love it. I've been listening now for a couple of years. Right now, I'm mincing about my house holding myself. I scan the AM dial when I'm in my semi-truck all over the country just to find your show. No XM for me yet. One thing I noticed is you sometimes cut off your characters when they're slamming the callers. You, a lot of times, break in and tell your characters to stop beating up the callers. But that's the most funny thing about the show. When your characters slam the callers, please let your characters slam the callers. By the way, let them slam the callers. Paul Booth Johnson, mental case. Here's one from Jason Bauer. Hey, Phil, could you remind me what the name of the movie was that you were talking about on your show where a guy ends up being his girlfriend's art project? Hey, what was the name of that flick? I can't remember. It's a Neil LaBute movie. Also, don't give up on the MP3s. Even without the music, they are still the best thing going. Great show as always, Jason Bauer. I can't remember that. You know, I was trying to remember that the other day, and I couldn't remember that.
Can you remember it?
No, I can't remember it. That's the point. Here's one from LC. By the way, he calls me a biatch, B-E-O-T-C-H. That's not how you spell it. Hey, Phil, MP3 links are gone from your site. Bring them back. These are the best. I like to listen to these in my car, you jackball. Come on, help a brother out. I do like the Media Center. Pretty effing cool. Later, biatch. Kind regards, LC, prisoner number 63152, San Quentin. Oh, and the music ended, so I guess that's all the time we have. Oh, there it is again. Why don't you just fade me out as I read the... Hey, Phil, I just wanted to say that it was exciting to see a promo clip of your show Thursday night. We all yelled and screamed when we saw you with your big fat red sweater just standing there in the scene. Can't wait to see the show. Dear Phil, thanks for the Days Before L.A. adds to the archives. Just wonderful stuff. Yeah, you hate it, but it's still great. It's a pleasure to hear how some voices and personalities evolve. Sundown into Jeff Dunn.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.